Morning. I spoke to a young man one time, and he was telling me about his life and how exciting his life was. And, you know, he was in his college years. And I said, well, what kind of excitement? He says, you know, all the kinds of excitement. You know, in college, what's going on in college, and we're having a good time, and this and that. And I said, well, that's fine and good, but don't you ever think about heaven? He says, yeah, I've thought about heaven, but I'm not so sure I want to go there. I said, well, why is that? He says, well, it just seems kind of boring. He says, I want to have an exciting life. I want to have a fun life. You know, I want to do things that are fun. I don't want to just hang around and with a harp and wings up in the clouds and, you know, just singing songs and doing that stuff. I want to have fun. I thought to myself, says, really? He's got a point. Well, he's got a point if that's what heaven is. If heaven is we sit around in the clouds and, you know, play harps and with wings and sing songs, is, I mean, that'd be nice for a little while, but for eternity? But the thing is that's not what heaven is. And the things that he finds so exciting in this world are the same way as sitting and strumming on a harp. Says, it's okay for a little bit, but then it's not okay anymore. And you're talking about eternity. You're talking about eternity. So what is it that draws us to those exciting times, those things that we think are exciting? And you know, if you look around, is most of the people in this room have lived through those exciting times, one way or another, one place or another, and yet they're here today. So there is something more, there's something missing in those exciting times and those exciting places. There's something very seriously missing, and that is substance. You know, when we're a certain age, and I know I did it, I know my children did it, I know my grandchildren do it. It says when we get hungry, we want to eat sweets. We want to eat dessert. If we know cake for dessert or if there's pie for dessert, that's what we want, and we want it now before we have anything else to eat. It says when that's kind of the way our life is. It says we need substance to survive, and we need substance that will keep us going. If all we eat is cake and dessert, then how healthy are we going to be? And how quickly we'll probably die? We can't survive very long on just eating cake and pie and chocolate and all the rest of it. These are all wonderful things. These are all things that we can enjoy. But we enjoy them at the right time, in the right place, and in the right order. And that's what heaven is about, is all of those things, those exciting things that we have in this world that we want to rush to and that we want to just gobble up, says all of those things are in heaven, in the right portion, at the right time, and the right place. You know, it's an example today of the prodigal son. You know, he was getting bored back on the farm. You know, he didn't want to hang around there. He wanted something more exciting. He couldn't take all of that boredom of being out on in the middle of nowhere. He wanted the bright lights of the city. And he took his inheritance, and he went to the city, and he And he had a great time for a very short time. And then his great time didn't just turn into a neutral, it turned into misery. You see, it's like if we eat all desserts. It will be nice at first, but then we're going to be miserable. We're going to be sick. We're going to feel sick. And if we do it every day, 24/7, we're going to be really sick. And that's what happened to this young man. He went out and he lived his life the way he thought he wanted to live it. He thought that he wanted to live his life with all dessert. And that's not the way it works. And he was sick. He was emotionally sick. He was psychologically sick. He was physically sick. He was drawn to feeding pigs just so that he would have enough sustenance to be able to eat some real food. And yet, he didn't even have enough food. And he sat there and he was looking at these pods that they were feeding the pigs. And the pods, you know, the pigs, they will eat anything, so usually they give them anything. And it's usually not the things that the people won't even think about eating. And he sat there and he was thinking, I wish I had even these pods, you know, I was thinking to eat these pods. And then it occurred to him. Now, again, as he hit the bottom of the barrel, and it occurred to him, he says, you know, back on the ranch, back at the farm, he says, those people are eating better. My father's servants are eating better than what I'm eating here. But they're eating real food. They're not eating desserts. Or if they are eating desserts, it's in the portion and in the right time for dessert. So he went back. And then the other personality is the father. Now the father allowed the son to leave. He allowed him because he knew that each person has free will. And he knew that each person has to make the decision that he's going to make. And he knew that if he went and he ate too much dessert, he was going to get sick. And he was hoping and he was praying that when he got sick, that he'd go back to the ranch, to the farm. That was his hope and his prayer. It was out of love that he wanted him to go and get it out of his system. We can't live our lives like that. So as it works is the father saw him at a distance. Now that means that he was looking for him. And probably every day he was looking towards the horizon to see, is my son finally come back? And he saw him coming. And he didn't wait for his son to come and get down on his knees and beg him for forgiveness like the son wanted to do. But he went running towards him to greet him and embrace him. And he said, come, here's your ring. I want you to wear the robe and a ring and bring him this and kill the fatted calf. And, you know, let's have a party. You notice there's two different kinds of parties we're talking about here. The party that the prodigal son was looking for in the big city and the party that was taking place in the loving place of his father. These people weren't bored. They were eating the fatted calf. They were drinking wine. They were probably getting a little tipsy too. They were laughing. They were having fun. They were dancing. And all of these things are good things. And these are the things that God gives us. Our Father in heaven is going to give us all of these joys. He's not going to take away from us the joys and the pleasures of this earth, but he's told us and he's instructed us how do we use these joys, and how and when do we have these pleasures? And that's something that many of us, especially when we're young, we forget, or we just don't know, and we have to experience it ourselves. And again, we have the third person is the brother that stayed home. And he was the brother, the good brother, the one that didn't go off to the city, but he stayed and he was working. He was with his father by his side the whole time. In other words, this is the son that didn't suffer at all. As he thinks that he suffered because he stayed and was working for his father. But in fact, he doesn't know what suffering is. The one that went out to the city and blew all his money and all his inheritance and was feeding pigs, he knew what suffering was. So this one was jealous of his brother because he thought that he deserved a party. He said, "Well, you never even, you know, let me take a goat and make merry with my friends." And his father said, "You've always been here. We've always been happy. We've always had everything that we need. We've always been joyous. We've had celebrations. We've had parties. We've danced. We've laughed. We sing. We have a wonderful, wonderful life." So why are you jealous of your brother? So now we have those three personalities: the prodigal, the good brother, and the father. And I'd like to ask, hands, how many have ever felt like the prodigal? Think to yourself. I don't want to show hands. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. But I will plunge and I will say, yes, I've been the prodigal son. Now, how many of you have been the good son, the good child? Again, I don't want to see a hand, but I have been that too. Now, the question is, how many are going to be like the good parent, the good father? I can't say that I have been. I try my best, though, because that's how we have been instructed to do. We have been instructed by God to do like Him, to be like the Father. So, my friends, when someone you know, or even someone you don't know, is out in that lifestyle eating nothing but desserts, and they finally get sick, and they finally come back and they want some substance, he says, be like the Father. Embrace them and help them. Bring them back. Bring them back and give them substance. Give them something to eat. Put a ring on their finger. Put a robe on their back. Don't be like the jealous brother who thought that this person doesn't deserve it because he's done bad things. And I'm such a good person, and I've stuck with it, but this person doesn't deserve it. He says, don't be like that. We must all try to be like the Father. I don't think we have any choice but to be like the prodigal at one place or time in our lives. However, most of us start getting sick, we go back and try to get the medicine. So when we get sick, it means that we're doing something very wrong. Now the church gives us a remedy. If you're feeling like you're getting sick because you're eating too much dessert in this life, you can come to confession. And in confession, you can unload of that dessert, all of those good times, all of those thoughts and ideas that you might have had. It says that's where we come. And that's where you are embraced by our Lord. And that is where he puts a ring on your finger. And that is where he puts a robe on your shoulders. And that is where he welcomes you back. And that is where he sacrifices himself and has the party to celebrate. And the party is his Eucharist, is his own body. This is the party, the celebration. So we celebrate the return of the prodigal. Now some might see the prodigal in church receiving communion. And they say, oh my God, what is that person doing, that evil, bad, terrible person? Why is that person receiving communion? That person is a sinner. This communion is the medicine for the sick. We are all sick. We all need the medicine. Communion is for the forgiveness of sins. If we did not need forgiveness, if we were not sinners, we would not need to receive communion. We would not need the Eucharist because we are already righteous. We've already been perfected. Is anybody in here feels that they're in that category? Then you're wasting your time coming to church, because if you're perfect, you don't need Jesus. You are Jesus. So we have to always remember that the great feast of all feasts, the great food of all foods, the great nourishment of all nourishment is the Holy Eucharist. And anyone who comes to the Eucharist is drawn by the Holy Spirit. Anyone that comes to the Eucharist should not be condemned, and they should not be criticized for their life or their lifestyle. My friends, it is very, very important that we remember this lesson of the prodigal son, because it reminds us how far away we can get from the Father, and how far away we can feel like we are from the Father. So we have to return. And even sometimes in our lives, in our good lives, we feel separated from the Father. As the son, the good son, he didn't feel that an obedience to his father. He didn't feel a love for his father because he thought his father was wrong. So he actually separated himself from the Father. And I would believe that sooner or later he would have come back. But we can separate ourselves from God by criticizing others, by saying that person is a sinner, that person is separate from God. But we can do the same thing by saying we can separate ourselves by thinking that we are good and that we are worthy and that someone else is not. So be careful. There's many ways that we can separate ourselves from God. But always know that God is there. He is waiting. He is watching. He's looking down the road, hoping and praying that no matter how far off the mark we become, no matter how far off, how much dessert we eat, how many things and how many people we hurt, he's always there waiting for us to return. Always know where your home is, and your home is here. Always know that you're welcome to come home. And always know that there is a celebration waiting for you or for whomever when they come home. Now in heaven is the celebration. You remember I talked about the young man who said he didn't want to go to heaven. But in reality, that's where real joy is. Heaven is like the party that was thrown by the Father. Heaven is like the celebration and the joy. Heaven is like the happiness. It's like the love. is like the embracing. Heaven is like the songs and the dance. Heaven has all of the joys that we experience in this earth, all of the good things in the right proportions, at the right time, and in the right way. The other option is dessert. Nothing but dessert. Heaven is a full meal and dessert. The other place is desserts. Until you get sick and you have to keep eating dessert. And you have to keep being force-fed desserts because that's all there is. And then all of a sudden dessert, the thing that we thought was so good, turns into the most evil, vile thing that we can imagine. Can you imagine being just sick and being forced to eat more and more and more desserts? That's all there is. There's nothing else. It's shallow. It's meaningless. In heaven is all things in the right proportion, the right time, and the right place.